Right.
And so as I moved through my experiences, I became more increasingly consciously aware of my interconnection. I would always know what to say, when to say it. I would know where to go, where to be, who to speak with. You know, those kind of experiences were commonplace. And if mm-hmm. I had questions, the answers came to me. So all that was commonplace until really I met Stuart, believe it or not, when I was 39. And mm-hmm. he was the one who put it into perspective about what was happening, because the things that happened to me had also happened to him, except he had the answers of who was doing this and why. And to me, it was just a lot of loosely strung experiences wow. that didn't mean anything. It's just mm-hmm. it was scary, and I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt it made me stronger. I learned to stand in my center. I learned to fight against great evil. I learned to know that no matter what was going on out there, I was connected. I was safe. You know, so it was a very scary time for me as far as my balancing act of keeping my sanity, functioning in mm-hmm. the regular world, being mm-hmm. connected, feeling totally different from everybody else that was around me, and always feeling that nobody knew what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met Stuart and began to be able to put my pieces together, I lost my fear, and I gained an appreciation for what I had gone through and recognized that it was my challenges that made me as strong as I am today.
Right.
So we're not always grateful at the moment for those challenges, but
yes.
as time goes along and you can look mm-hmm. back and learn, see what you did and what you went through, and it interesting thing is the more I started speaking out, which is kind of how Decoding Your Life began, as I started speaking out, although I didn't talk about this portion of my life because I was concerned people would think I was crazy. I talked about the other portion, you know, just, you know, positive thinking, how to get along with your life, you know, the universal law, which is what Decoding Your Life is about. I found that all kinds of people were attracted to my teaching. This was back in the 70s when I started doing this many years ago out in rural eastern Washington state in a high mountain desert. My nearest mm-hmm. neighbors were a mile apart, and it was a traditional rural town with rural values, and if you didn't go to church, you know, you were an outcast.
Right.
So it was amazing. When I started talking to people, just I had a friend who had problems with her son, and so I started giving her a few little concepts here and there. And eventually, she liked what I said, and I told her more, and then one thing led to another, and pretty soon I had all kinds of people coming to my classes, from Catholic nuns to Methodists to Mormons to people without a denomination, although that's rare in rural America. And they wanted to know more, 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 more. And I never told anybody to abandon their churches, to abandon their families. I said, take what you have, add what I'm giving you, use what you can use, and toss the rest away. And
yeah.
they saw major changes happening within their life. And those major changes, and they said, you know, we like what you are teaching us. Can you write a book, or can you write it down? So I wrote lesson plans. And then from lesson plans, I said, this is great. Can you put it into a book? And that's how Decoding Your Life really happened. And I started writing that book when I was in my early 20s. That material has been around for decades,
right.
so about my age, but a long time ago, you know, it just wasn't available, and I needed them to know, have something that they could use. And I said, you're like a scientist. You know, I myself, I'm a skeptic. When all these things were happening to me as I was growing up, I still didn't know what it was, but I kept my notes. I kept my journals of what was happening to me and my feelings and the things that I was learning. But I still was skeptical because I wasn't going to go anywhere with anybody willingly unless I knew who they were.
Right.
And that's what I have always taught people, to be very skeptical. So even as I teach these concepts today, I say, do not believe a word I say. But take the information. Test it for yourself. Get answers. See what
your results
are. And see, if it, does it work just one time, or does it work time after time after time? And so that's kind of how I teach, and that's what, and fortunately, you know, I was able to find Stuart and continue to increase my own awareness, and we together now are continuing to test everything we know, and we tell everybody, be skeptical, and we have people say terrible things about us, and we say, well, that's okay, be skeptical. You know, that's what we want. We want you to think on your own.
Absolutely.
You're going to be a robot. We want you to
right.
question us. We want you to say, hey, look, we're not perfect. And we see that as much as we know, there's so much we don't know. We still have our struggles.
Yes.
We have our issues. We have our problems, just like you. You know, it's just that we are doing this full time, and we've been in this all our lives. So between the two of us, we have decades of research to offer for other people to explore and see if it's applicable to their life. That's kind of the basic. I know it's kind of a very long answer to your question.
No, absolutely, because I that was sort of a question I was going to ask you later on. So you answered it anyway in terms of, you know, the two of you meeting, because you can feel that between the two of you, that there is definitely this deep connection, you know, this like a oneness. And it just doesn't seem like it was by chance.
No, and what's really interesting is I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington. He was born and raised in Long Island, New York, on the opposite side of the U.S. And I'm actually older by 9 months, which I tell him oftentimes to make me smarter. I'm older by 9 months. But my mother was going to name me Alan if I was a boy, A-L-A-N, which happens to be his middle name, A-L-A-N.
Oh, interesting.
So we were born basically the same year, you know, basically the same frequency, basically the same latitude on the earth. And I actually had an opportunity to, when I was going to college, to be an intern in a bank of Hong Kong. At the same time, he had the opportunity to work as an account executive at the Bank of Hong Kong, both in China. And I turned it down, and for various reasons at that time, and his never came through. But we often wonder if we would have made those steps, we would have met a lot sooner. But I guess we had a...
Right, but I think it's, you know, it's timing. And I've seen that so many times in my life as well. And I think that we each have to sort of carry out whatever that process is at that moment. And if you meet certain people before you are able to fulfill that process, it would definitely affect the choices that, you know, that you would make that would present the outcome that you have right now. So that's very clear to me. So, and then the other aspect of this I wanted to ask you is, what is the significance with your American Indian and Celtic genetics that make you a target for mind control? And also, you said you're, is it Waldenson or Waldensinian?
Waldensian.
Waldensian? Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just wrong all the way around with the pronunciation.
Well, you know, most people haven't heard of that term, so I understand, but Waldensian.
Well, I was curious. What does that mean, first of all? Well, either way you want to start answering the question.
Well, start with Native American. I actually have Cherokee on both sides of my family. And what that does, the Native Americans or the indigenous peoples as a whole have access to the frequencies of the earth. And so that goes into my ability to do the toning and to teach toning, because people don't know their own sound. They don't know the sound that's around them. And so I teach them how to go into sound or frequency, find out who and what they are and who and what everything is around them, and to replicate those tones of creation. So that's kind of where the Native American comes in. And so when I'm doing my toning work, I work on opening up that genetic lineage so that I can do the work that I need to do that way. Sound changes things. Sound moves. Sound has information. And I teach people, one of the things that I do in one of my workshops is I teach people how to read stones and sticks that they pick up on the beach and many different layers of that. And I teach them what the indigenous people did and how they did it, how the Indians hunted buffalo, you know, how they connected to the spirit, how that they found the places to hunt. You know, all those things. I teach people about frequency. So that's where my Native American comes in. My Celtic lineage really has to do more with the connection to the stars, to the Lyrian system, to the Atlans and all of that. So that has to do with that lineage. And when I want to go that direction, I hook up that way. The Waldensian lineage, which a lot of people are familiar with, the Cathars and the Templars, but the Waldensians were the most hated and feared of the Catholic Church. And the Waldensians were actually called the Waldensian religion was called the mother of the Reformation that happened back then, and they were persecuted for many centuries, and finally they walled up in the hills of Italy. And while they were there, they were given, they had fought so hard and defeated so many thousands and thousands of the Catholic soldiers that they were given, I can't think of the word, but a truce where the mm-hmm. people could go to Switzerland. But what they did was they took all the children under the age of 12 away from the parents first, and they put them in Catholic families throughout Europe to destroy the Waldensian religion. The Waldensian religion is the one that has the true frequency of the Jesus Mary Magdalene lineage. And they are the ones that were credited with inventing the tarot cards to hide their religion. And they're the ones that have the secret knowledge, because that was what was passed down through the Jesus, Mary, Magdalene lineage, color, tone, and archetype.
Mm-hmm.
The adults were granted safe passage to Switzerland in the middle of the winter on foot, so many of them died. From there, some of them went down to Uruguay and then migrated up to the U.S., and there were only three colonies in the United States. One was in New York City, one was in North Carolina, and one colony was in southwestern Missouri, which is where my family is from. And that church, all these churches then, because they were so far away from Europe, they were told that they needed to blend with a church in the United States. So most of them picked either Presbyterian or Methodist because they felt that was a lesser evil than Roman Catholicism. And mm-hmm. the church in Monette, Missouri, which is now blended with Presbyterian, actually has a small Waldensian museum in its basement. But the town is like 7,000 people. It's very small. And like everything else, this will eventually die out unless people like myself tell the Waldensian story.
Right.
So that's my Mary Magdalene lineage. And so when I do my oversoul work, that's really the frequency that I connect with. I connect with the Mary Magdalene frequency up to my oversoul, up into God mind. And so that helps take me that level. So kind of behind 57, but I've learned to work the genetics of each and every aspect of what I was given.
Now, Janet, of course, these weren't questions. This wasn't a question I was going to go into. I really wasn't. But since you brought it up, and I almost, I'm kind of walking on eggshells with it a little bit, but as far as the Magdalenian aspect, there's so much confusion and controversy around the story of Mary Magdalene, Jesus, you know, the just the whole story. But I'm just going to approach it right now from the Magdalene aspect of it. What, from your own understanding or research, can you tell us? Because I know there were, I mean, a group of powerful women, and I have, you know, information on, you know, on who this character, this individual, you know, was, or what she represented. So could you give us a little bit of information on your knowledge?
Well, because I'm in that frequency, it's like saying to you, you know, what is the stomach? Well, you know, I can't exactly explain it to you in the same way.
Right.
You have to have that stomach. So you know when it's hungry and when it's full,
right,
or when it's empty, when you feel you're upset, et cetera.
Right. So just the history of it. Anything that, the history of it that you have come to know as a truth then.
Yes, and also it is written about somewhat in Stuart's Blue Blood book when he
mm-hmm.
talks about how Jesus, the personal person known as Jesus, was really a creation of alien beings. And this creation actually married Mary Magdalene, and then they had progeny or children from that relationship. And those children were the ones that actually moved throughout Europe. There were some of the grandchildren that went into Asia, into Japan. There's actually a church in Japan that's dedicated to Jesus and Mary Magdalene. There are lots of different things that if you actually go out there and study global history, you can actually start tracing. Because a lot of people say, well, where's your proof? And this is one thing that we did when we went on our trip to France last year. We're going back in June of 2010. We are continuing to explore this. And also we did this in our conferences October and November, which we're going to be replicating on a cruise that we're offering to people in January. So it's a continuing theme with us because we are here to bring out the truth for people because the truth has been hidden for so many centuries.
Right.
So the Magdalene frequency itself, or the Magdalene person, with the children actually was spreading color, tone, and archetype. They were the true religion, and that's what the Roman Catholic Church feared of the Waldensians, because they were telling the truth. The Catholic Church wanted to usurp all of the wealth of the land. They wanted control over the people. They did that via religion. The Waldensians were giving the people their own power, and they were teaching them about color, tone, and archetype. And they were the ones then that were continually battered away until there was practically none of them left, because they didn't want the people to have this information. And that's what I'm doing, is I'm getting this information back out. I go into the lineage, I go into the frequency, I know what's truth, and I give it out to people, and I say, now, this is what I know, you try it. And that's the person that we touch into. When we went to France, we saw her. We saw how she was tied to her bones. We did release work on her. And my son says she comes and visits him in his room, because mm-hmm. remember, this is part of the lineage. He sees her. He talks to her. She tells him things. We talk to the daughter, Sarah, which is actually her daughter. So we actually talk to these people via frequency, and as I said, my son sees her. And when we went to France, people also had their own experiences. So it's something that I think could be debated about for millennia.
Right.
Because it's so hidden, but if you go to Europe and you go to these places, you will find it, and then you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And that's what makes it so fascinating, because when you see it and you experience it, every single person who went to France with us experienced something personal, unexplainable, that made them say, yes, there is truth to this.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what Lance, you're looking for, but that's the best that I can do at this point.
No. That's a great answer, because I asked you to give me your, your perspective in terms of, the truth, in terms of what you know to be the truth, the history. And that's what you did. There's, I always think in terms of, the parallel, or quantum nature of reality. And I think that there's a lot tied into that aspect in terms of all these different realities that I think have happened at the same time. Well, past, present, and future exist simultaneously. But I think there's a lot of parallel or overlapping realities, which comes up with various histories. I really think that there is something to that. I think things get inserted too. But anyway, that's another show.
Yes, it is. That's true. A big topic, but I do
it's a huge topic. Lots of that gets inserted into our reality and into our memory.
To define that. See, that's what I teach people to do. Everything here in this reality is so twisted and convoluted, and they have purposely, the Illuminati knows universal law. When I wrote about decoding your life, that's the law of that the Illuminati follows. Because if I give you a recipe, you can use that recipe for good or evil. It doesn't matter. If it's a recipe for chocolate cake, and it doesn't matter what your intentions are, you're going to come up with a chocolate cake.
Absolutely.
Yes, the Illuminati takes universal law, and they use it what we would call, in quotes, for evil. And we're using it for what we would call, in quotes, good.
Right.
Technically, it's a neutral recipe. So what I did in Decoding Your Life, because I was teaching people from all walks of life, I wanted them to have basic laws of life that they could take with them that would be basically, they would not fail them. And so when I was writing this book for my original group of people, every day before I went to bed, I wrote down what I considered to be a universal law, and I did that for like 30 days, and that became the basics for my book. And then I expounded upon that, and then I passed out my papers before it was a book. I said, here's the law. I want you to use it. I want you to practice with it. Come back and tell me if you get the same results that I get.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they did. Well, that's what the Illuminati does. The Illuminati has the universal law. They know what they're doing, and then they don't ever force us against our will. They lead us down a path. And then it's universal law. It's manipulation under universal law. It's the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
We learned how to lead us to water, and so we drink. You know, they put all these little trinkets out there for us that catches our imagination and that distracts us from our true purpose. And so they laid out they lay it out, and we just gullibly go along and do their bidding. So they're really not doing anything to us. They are only practicing universal law. And if we would practice universal law in the same way, we would understand that what's going on, and therefore we would not follow these.
Be subjected to, absolutely. I agree with you. I absolutely agree. Yeah, because, you know, it's one force, it's energy, and it's just a matter of how you decide to use that. It's like having silly putty. It's like you can make anything with it you want to.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, I definitely see that. Now, I want to go into a little bit of another direction. Would you define the term, you know, God mind?
God mind is all that is. It's just an intelligence that pervades the universe.
All right. Now, you said that you talked about your, about Oversoul. And since you've given that brief description of God mind, which is what it is the all that is, would you define more clearly Oversoul? Because I think that becomes confusing for some people, what Oversoul actually means. And the contracts made with ourself, because you had mentioned that in the book, and I thought that was very, very, very interesting point, is those contracts that people just don't understand or not aware of. So you always feel like things are being done to you to some degree. So if you can explain that, that would be great.
Now, your Oversoul is basically your point of origin out of God mind. It is a very simple concept. And what the New Age did, the New Age was really a distraction written by the Illuminati, so again, people would not go further than that. And the New Age threw in the term higher self. So oftentimes, especially in the beginning, remember I've had this my workout now for many decades,
right.
People would say, is that the same as higher self? And I'd say, no, it's different. You know, higher self is a New Age term. That's not applicable to what I'm talking about. And I like to say if you stood yourself up straight and you kind of visualize a funnel from the top of your head all the way up, you know, further than what you can imagine, that's how your consciousness goes. There's only so much consciousness that can fit into this physical shape. If you put too much in, it's going to explode. So what you have to do is you have to be able to move yourself up and down that funnel so that you can connect to different aspects of yourself within that Oversoul matrix, and then on occasion, if applicable, beyond up into the God mind itself. But it's kind of like if you have a question for me, then you don't want to go ask my neighbor down the road, because I have the answer a lot sooner than the neighbor down the road is. And that's kind of the way it is with the God mind itself. Remember, this is a big intelligence up there. So your Oversoul is more personalized, and that's really your point of origin. So I do Oversoul, God, mind. I do that triad, self, Oversoul, God, mind, but I go to my Oversoul first. And if I really, you know, am working on something intense or deep that I need more energy behind that, then I say, okay, God, mind, and, you know, you've got to push my Oversoul because I'm out there.
Familiar.
Yeah, it becomes a personal thing that you can use, you can get answers, but it needs to know that you're just not down here, okay, you need some help, you have to communicate.
Right.
Sometimes you got to yell and scream to do that, and people aren't used to that, you know, and again, religion is mind control. You have to be reverent, you have to wait. Well, I say, no, you don't have to wait. You get its attention. You let it know, hey, I need some help, I need it now. So it becomes a whole way of being. Instead of always being told what you're supposed to do and then following that rule, you have to go exploring. And a lot of times the people who find our work, they are the explorers. They're the ones who've either been through certain routes and they haven't worked, or they work to a certain degree and they want more, or people who've never believed, you know, the status quo to start with. It takes a person with high intelligence to begin to question and break out of the mold, because they've done such a good job of studying that mold.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even realize we're in a mold.
Absolutely.
So it's all part of our growth. And it's fascinating when you finally open it up and you get your own answers and you're right there. I mean, your life is your book. You know, I love books too, but life is my book. My Oversoul is my teacher. You know, I have a question, I go up, I get an answer, and then we go further and we go deeper. And it's amazing, like I mentioned earlier, the histories and what's out there. You know, no matter how many books you've read, it's not the same as experiencing it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can go there. That's helpful. I love our travel research, but you don't have to. You can do it from the comfort of your own home once you're connected. Mm-hmm. Or once you know you're connected. Everybody's always connected.
Connected, absolutely.
Yeah, everybody is just so deluded that they're not. You know, and even people say, well, I'm a beginner. I said, there are no beginners. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not at this level. Yes, you are. You know, let's
mm-hmm.
stop denying who and what we are. Let's stop denying our own personal power. You know, let's claim ourselves. And once we do,
mm-hmm.
you know, let them be afraid of us for a change. You know,
I'm not afraid of anybody's
technology. My mind mm-hmm. is connected to my oversoul and God mind. How much more power could I possibly want? How can I be
mm-hmm.
intimidated with technology? You see, and they've got everybody afraid, and that's got to go away.
Mm-hmm. And then how about the contracts? You said the contracts made with ourselves.
Absolutely. Usually they're one contract with lots of different things. It's like you've got a pick list, and you have to go down, and you know, certain things are basic things you want to do, but then they go deeper, and they go deeper, and they go deeper. So before you come, you choose your parents, you choose your name, you choose where you're going to be born. You choose the earth frequency that's going to emanate up and through your physical being while you're doing all these things. And as you do that, you work through your goals. And a lot of times, you set up circumstances that may seem too challenging for you, but without them, you would never learn. And so a lot of times, as you said, people think life's out there doing things to them. And we say, no, let's look at the responsibility. Let's look at the mind pattern that you came in with. Let's look at the mind pattern your parents have. You know, let's look at what you're accepting from other people that's not even yours to accept. Let's get rid of all this extraneous things, and let's find out who and what you are, why you came in here, what is your contract with yourself, and what are you doing to accomplish that? So we take away the victim mentality. Victim mentality we accept because of the Illuminati circumstances. And again, they don't say you have to. We just take it on. And it's
absolutely
genetic. Comes to our parents, same way. You know, it's born into us, you know. I'm not worthy of this and I'm not worthy of that. You may want it. Sometimes people can build it, but then they can't accept what they've built. So, it's a step-by-step process about finding out who you are, finding out your own personal strength. And again, as you mentioned earlier, the simultaneous existences, all the lifelines that are pushing into you right now and influencing you that you are most likely not aware of. Let's become aware of those. I want to become aware of my Magdalene frequency. I want to become aware of my American Indian background. I want to be aware of my Celts. I want to be aware of the star system I came from. I want to be aware of all of that right now because that creates the totality that I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is available to every single person. And when they recognize that and they break out of that victim mentality and they accept all the magnitude of soul personality itself, then it's no more they're doing it to me. You know, I could list stuff as long as my arm and as deep as hole as all the way to China, which I could say was done to me. But I use that as my challenge to make me strong. And I say, throw me more. Because every time you give me one challenge, you're going to be my teacher, and I'm going to get stronger because of what you've given to me. I'm not going to go in a hole. Like when gas went up to $4.50 a gallon, and people were saying, $4.50 a gallon, let's run out and get a smaller car. Let's ride a motor scooter.
Yeah.
You know, let's go back to horses. I said, you know what? I'm going to get the biggest car I can find. And I'm going to drive it, and I'm going to open my mind pattern up, and I'm going to have the money to pay $4.50 a gallon. I don't care if they raise it to $50 a gallon. My mind pattern is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger because God mind is limitless. I am a microcosm of the macrocosm. I am going to allow the God mind frequency to express through me in its fullness as much as I possibly can. So I'm opening myself up. As God mind is limitless, I am limitless. That means I'm not going to limit my income. I'm not going to shrink down into a small car, tiny car. I'm going to open myself up more and more and more. And that's what I'm learning to do, and that's what I'm sharing with other people. Hey, grow up. Be there. Don't complain. Use it as a tool. Grow. Greet the challenge. This is your challenge to be a bigger, better, brighter person out there. To connect.
I love it. I love it, Janet. Everything you're saying is really so powerful because it, you know, it's everything that I certainly talk about and know. And I'm glad that you brought that up. You gave the analogy with the gas prices, and right now, I mean, I don't sit and watch the news, but you can't help but hear bits and pieces or even on the computer when you get on there, and it's all so fear-based right now. They're just beating it into the ground about the economy, how bad it is, how bad. I mean, you just watch it, and they're leading people into a direction that they want them to go in. This is what's so interesting about the manipulation. So when you said you're going to go out and buy the biggest car, yeah, you are taking it and transforming it into something completely the opposite of what has been, yeah, planned. I love it.
The same thing with selling your house, you know, getting a job. The same thing. People think now, well, I can't sell my house. You know, I can't find a job. It's like, okay, you're one person, one house, one, you know, one job. If it's in your mind pattern, you're going to get that job. You're going to get that, sell that house. You know, you may get a great deal on another house because somebody else's mind pattern isn't so great. But, mm-hmm. you know, your mind pattern can get you whatever you want. I don't let anything stop me. You know, for a year, Stuart and I had no money. We lived with his parents in a room with our newborn child, you know, the size of most people's bathrooms. And we've gone from that to producing our books, our DVDs, we have a lovely home, I have a big car, I give my children what they want, and I have done that from basically ground zero. You know, we have been in what most people would consider poverty, when Stuart didn't have enough money to buy a gallon of distilled water. So, you know, I don't take anybody's excuses where I can't do it, or you have this. Well, you know what, Stuart and I have paid our dues, and we're still paying our dues. And that's what I tell people, you know what, I don't care where you are. If you've got a mind, you know that you're connected, you have the most powerful source behind you ever. You have no excuses to not do anything. You know, you have every reason, every power to get out there and make something of yourself, to accomplish that contract that you came in here to do, you know, to move beyond these illusions and time restraints and distractions. I mean, you can do it. And that's really what our message is find the power within, be all that you can be, connect yourself, and everything will be absolutely fabulous for you. It can be. It doesn't mean life isn't going to be without its challenges. The challenges will make you grow. The challenges will make you strong. The challenges will make you a better person and allow you the access to more of what you want. Because when times are tough, that's when you get into the recesses of your mind. That's when you go into places that otherwise you wouldn't go into. That's when you grow. That's when you sweat. So be okay with that growth process.
That's such powerful information. I just love everything you've said because it's so on point. And people are taught and programmed, as you said, to look outside of themselves. And the message that you're bringing right now, yes, it's stop looking out, stop going out there. You know, that's the program. It's everything is out there, but it's not. You know, it's what Janet is talking about. It's going inner, going in, and you know, going to that oversoul, and you know, claiming what it is that you want to bring in.
Right. So, and it's also going into beyond that. I mean, it's going particularly deeper levels. And that's one thing that the New Age talked about, you know, they talked about auras, but they didn't tell you what to do with it once they found it, and they didn't tell you to go beyond the aura and see what was beyond it. So people got hung up at this aura thing. So they were looking for an oversoul. They stopped at their own higher self. They didn't go into an oversoul level. They didn't go beyond the boundaries of an aura. You know, just they didn't know what an aura meant. They just wanted to see one.
It goes on and on and on and on. Oh my gosh, I can think of so many fracturizations that we have. And that's a good point. It's either the aura or balancing your chakra. Everything is dissected, and it's a segment here and a segment there, and people are trying to do this one thing over here. Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of that the New Age movement did bring about. And it just helps people to be, you know, more fractured, more separated from, further from moving into wholeness.
More stress.
Absolutely. The distraction is the number one thing. You gotta keep the people distracted in order to do what you want to do. And then, okay, how much time do we have? Okay, we have a little bit more time. And you talked about the ego, the many forms of the ego, and the impact of the ego on our human experience. Thought also, I mean, everything in the book was just powerful. I just couldn't figure out which thing to, you know, talk about next. And we have so many questions that we won't even be able to get to. Oh, you know what? Before I go into that, I want to make sure I take this, let me see, there's a question. Could be a question or a statement from a listener. How does Janet describe the Matrix? You lost me on the gas price thing. Why should I want to pay more and more money to the corporations every time they decide to raise the price of something? Screw the corporations. They want to control our minds and movements by getting us into debt. So I guess he wants to know about the Matrix.
Okay, well, the Oversoul Matrix itself is what you connect, what you're already connected to, but consciously you need to go up. You need to connect to the Oversoul levels. The reason I describe it as a matrix is because if you think of programming, programming is built on a 13 by 13 by 13 cube. And believe it or not, this whole reality is built on a 13 by 13 by 13 cube. And that's the basics of the programming. If you go into the Oversoul, it's a 13 by 13 by 13 cube. And if people say, how do you come up with that? The best thing I can tell you right now is to go into the frequency and you will see it and feel it and know it for yourself. And that's how I found that out. So the Oversoul Matrix itself has very many levels and compartments. And so that's a part of the self-exploration because your Oversoul really is a part of you and you a part of it, but in a different format than what people are used to talking about. So I hope that gives them a rough idea of where to start with the matrix itself. As far as the gas prices, it's not about getting yourself into debt. It's about having so much money coming into yourself, so much abundance that you have, that you are yourself are limitless, just as the God mind is limitless. So if you shrink down, that's what they want. Your car represents your path in life. So if you get a tiny little car, then basically that's what you're talking about. That's your statement about yourself. So bigger is better, so to speak, as far as a replication of the God mind and its energies. As far as making corporations rich, that's their issue, not yours. As long as you have what you need, then that becomes their issue.
Well, and I agree with what you're saying once again, but I think that we have to understand what money is, and I think that's where the situation or the issue comes in, is what it represents, which is, you know, it's a currency. It's called currency for a reason. And so basically what Janet is really showing is if you are able to have that kind of money, you know, to always fulfill no matter how high, it eventually changes the whole concept of their own wealth as well. It would, if everybody were able to understand or able to do that and make that happen, no matter what they raised it to, it would still then become like only a dollar. $5 a gallon would become like a dollar because it would begin to lose that kind of value. That's why, you know, scarcity is the method used. And scarcity of money. But if there is more money afloat, then it's definitely going to diminish the value that they have placed on it for themselves. I hope that explains it, too.
No, I think that's a good way of explaining it. Basically, it's the all the money does is allow us to move through life and attain whatever it is that we need.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, money is a catalyst. I mean, you know, we have to look at it from an energy perspective because that's what it is. You know, sorry, they've given it quantitative, it's got a value to it, so. Anyway, that's almost like a whole show.
Yeah, to
really go into that one. But a powerful thing that we really should, begin to explore, the concept of money as an, energy form. Now, we only have a couple of minutes. It seems like we just started the show. You have to come back so we can go into the book, because I didn't even get to go into the book, really. What do you have coming up, Janet, if you can just give us some ideas to what you have coming up, and in terms of people contacting you, whatever you do, you know, work over the phone or at, you know, physical events?
All right. Well, I invite everyone to visit our website at expansions.com. And that's, we have a lot of free information there. We have daily news, daily affirmations up there. We have articles. We have question and answers where you can submit your question and answers for to be personally answered, generally by Stuart. He usually handles that, but once in a while I step in there too. Stuart and I both do personal consultations for people where if they're stuck, we encourage them to find their own answers, but if they get stuck, we will do our best to help point out the different avenues of action for them. I have a great seminar coming up in January. I do a personal intensive every January and every August. This January is going to be on the family unit and what your family means to you. Coming out of the holidays, a lot of people kind of, those things come up for them. So I want them to learn from what they've just been through and to understand what's going on, not only with the outer family, but the inner family inside. That includes the programming part, the programmed part of yourself, and also what I call your subpersonalities, which sometimes might be an emotion. It could be a specific mind pattern. But we take a look at that whole family unit so that we can start making more sense of your life, more order out of the seemingly chaos. And what's really fascinating is Stuart and I just came across a cruise that we have decided to take to continue studying about true history. This one is called Time Travel Adventures, which will be taking us to Turkey, Greece, Egypt, and Cyprus. And that will be starting, that will be at the conclusion of my January seminar. It departs from Italy. We'll also be visiting the Vatican January 20th. And we will be giving a synopsis of our True History seminar of October and November while we are on the cruise. And we're going to be bringing it up about how the Greek civilization was really founded via aliens and the alien influence. And it's going to be a really fascinating cruise. There's going to be some fascinating information that comes up, plus what we will review for those who are unable to attend our October, November on True Histories. In April of this year, we will be doing a health seminar, which we always do in the spring. And then watch the website for more details on that. And that will be here in St. Joseph, Michigan, as well as my January seminar here in St. Joseph, Michigan. In June, we're going on a Baltic cruise. Again, continuing, this is our year of true history, up into the Nordic Viking region. So that also should be fascinating. The fall of August, I guess, will be the next one, my next personal intensive, which I always work on the great outdoors and what's going on using Mother Nature as teacher. The fall of 2009, Stuart is taking a group of people to Tibet, and then we conclude the year in October and November with our annual teaching conferences. So we always have a lot going on. Stuart and I are...
It sounds like it.
Yes, we are creative people. We create and we keep it going, and we love the momentum. Yeah, we love the people who come to our events because they are always such great additions, and we all get together and we share and we have a great time.
And if anything, and you've missed it, just go to the website and click on events for Janet and Stuart. Janet, thank you so much for being on the show this morning. We are out of time. And as always, thanks to the listening audience. And you may contact me. My email is soniabarr@yahoo.com. And you may visit my website, www.sovereignmindradio.com. And join me next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And remember that the power to be a sovereign mind, a free mind, lies within you. Join me.